speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this Wednesday, July 24th, 2019. I'm David Knight, your host, and it is Mueller time. That's Mueller now, not Mueller. That's become a big issue. Democrats saying, you're calling him Mueller to disparage him. And it's like, no, I called him Mueller for the longest time just because of the way he spells his name. If you don't want somebody to pronounce that, don't put that extra E in there. Anyway, it's kind of harks back to, you know, Ferris Bueller. Well, today it's Mueller's day on and not a day off. And we're going to give you some of the clips as they come. The testimony has already started. And I hate to do this to you in the morning because it's kind of like giving you toast without butter. It's pretty dry stuff. And believe me, we're not going to limit this show to the back and forth testimony of Mueller. As a matter of fact, on Monday, and I didn't cover this yet, I had this on my desk for a while. As Ray McGovern pointed out, Monday was the third anniversary of Hillary being exposed. The emails that were leaked. They were not hacked. They were leaked. And we've been going round and round with this for 3 years. I was there at the DNC. I talked to Democrats who were very, very upset with Hillary Clinton. And I said from the very beginning, and everybody else here at InfoWars did as well, that this was not a hack by the Russians. This was an attempt by Hillary Clinton to make sure that you didn't look at the what that was in the emails, but she misdirected you to a who. Well, if you had looked at the what, you would have known who was behind all of this coup attempt for the last 3 years. You would have known that it was Hillary's friends in the establishment, in the Department of Justice, in the FBI, in the CIA, working with foreigners, MI5 or MI6, whichever one it is. I don't care. But basically, that's the foreign collusion right there between London and Langley. Between the British spies and the American spies, you would have known that all this stuff was baloney. And so we're going to talk a little bit about this. We'll also talk about the third anniversary. But there's other stories that have come out. John McAfee has disappeared. Came out on Twitter yesterday. One of his friends said, I was talking to him as they captured him. He'd been at sea for a while, evading authorities who had accused him of tax evasion. And, of course, there's other issues with John McAfee that they are concerned about. And John McAfee has said that if he is arrested and disappeared, he has information that is going to be released to expose a lot that the CIA is doing. So we'll see what happens with that. We'll take a look at that as well. And then, of course, we have the radiation poisoning that has happened to many State Department officials. They've actually now examined the brains of the people who were exposed to this radiation at the Cuban embassy and at another embassy. And they said, yes, the brains have been damaged. They have less white matter. They have decreased in size and so forth and so on. This is caused by electromagnetic radiation in one way or the other. And yet, as this is happening, remember that our government, both the FCC and our health watchdogs at the FDA, are telling us that there's nothing to be concerned about with cell phones. There's nothing to be concerned about with 5G. Straight up, you know, full speed ahead. Let's go. Don't need to pull this back at all. And so we're going to take a look at that as well. So we're going to have some clips coming up. We're going to start out with Nadler. I'm going to give you a little bit of background here and my perspective on this as well. We're going to take a quick break here and we'll be right back. Oh, by the way, it's now official. YouTube has banned the word Christian, and we've got the screenshot to show it. People's ads in support of veterans were taken down specifically because of a banned term, and the only term that they put there was Christian. Yeah, they've been after our beliefs for quite some time. Now they've made it as obvious as possible. We'll be right back.
In a world of deceit, Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this Wednesday, July 24th, year of our Lord 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. I can barely say it with a straight face. Yes, we are going to have now Mueller testifying. It's been 3 years that we've been dragging this out. Is there anybody awake at this point? Anybody who hasn't already looked at this from one perspective or the other is just not going to be open to hearing anything. And of course, from the very beginning, I said, and everybody else here at InfoWars said at the top of the hour, said that this was a dodge. This was a Russian red herring to distract you from the information that was revealed about Hillary Clinton. We had the third anniversary on Monday, and as Ray McGovern pointed out, and of course, Ray McGovern, formerly with the CIA, he used to give the daily briefing to several different presidents, I think both Democrat and Republican from the CIA. So here's Ray McGovern's briefing on what's been going on for the last 3 years. As you pointed out on Monday, 3 years ago, WikiLeaks published a trove of highly embarrassing emails that had been leaked from inside the Democrat National Committee. Now, let me repeat that. From inside. And I can tell you, when I was there in July, it had been out for a couple of weeks, I would talk to the people that were pro-Hillary at the DNC, and it would be like, Ukraine, and Trump, and all, you know, they didn't want to talk about anything in the emails. They would immediately divert over to this stuff. And then the people who were there who supported Bernie Sanders were furious about all this stuff. They didn't believe it. The emails, however, were authentic. Whoever released it did everybody a favor because they told the truth about Hillary Clinton. But she was very effective with her friends in the media and her friends in the government in deflecting any inspection away from the content of those emails. As Ray McGovern points out, it could not have come at a worse time for top Democratic Party officials. It made it unmistakably clear that the DNC had tipped the scales sharply against insurgent Bernie Sanders. Relatively few Americans read the actual emails. Their attention was diverted to the incessant media-fostered question, why did the Russians hack the DNC to hurt Hillary? Now, it wasn't really, I disagree with Ray there, it wasn't media-fostered, it was Hillary-fostered. Again, who and not what? Who did this? Don't look at what's in them. Who did this? That was a whole tactic. A red herring, a distraction to take you off of the trail. If you actually looked at what was in there, then you wouldn't have fallen for any of this nonsense about Russiagate in the first place. And he said, for the millions of once enthusiastic Democrats who had favored Sanders, the disclosure that the nomination process had been fixed came as a bitter pill, leaving a sour taste in their mouths. While many Sanders supporters loudly objected, and I covered that at the convention, they still went through this with the help of the media, with the help of all the people inside the Department of Justice, the FBI, the CIA, and their friends in British intelligence. They were able to pull this off. Independent forensic investigations demonstrated 2 years ago, we've been telling you this the entire time, we had William Binney on immediately on this show, on with Alex Jones, saying the DNC emails were not hacked over the internet, but had been copied onto an external storage device, probably a thumb drive. Julian Assange had said from the very beginning, it was not a state actor who gave this to us. We had a UK ambassador who said that he went to America so that he could pick up the information from an inside whistleblower. And then there was all the information about Seth Rich. People said, well, is he the one who did it? I don't know if he's the one who did it. It's very suspicious that he died at that particular time. However, I will believe William Binney and Julian Assange over Anderson Cooper and Brian Stelter, anybody at CNN, anybody at MSNBC, I'll believe them over Hillary or Comey or Mueller, and I will believe them over Trump, because that's the thing that bothers me about this. Trump has signed on to this seminal lie that the emails were hacked by Russia. He should know better. He was given a briefing by William Binney. He should know, and he should believe William Binney, who was the former technical head of the NSA for a couple of decades. He knows what he's talking about. He has impeccable credentials when it comes to that. But if President Trump is going to pretend to go along with this, then quite frankly, I'm not that interested in defending him if he won't defend himself from these lies, this seminal lie. Because once you go down that rabbit trail, you know, after they drag the smelly fish, the red herring, over the trail of the real fox, Hillary Clinton, and you go down that rabbit trail, then you get into this ball of wax. And why would President Trump do that when he knows better? Well, because he wants to cozy up to Pompeo and to Gina Haspel and the CIA people. And that concerns me even more about all this stuff. And so, as Ray McGovern says, not all journalists fell for it. And he talks about Patrick Lawrence, who used to work for The Nation. And I look at this, it's like, come on, Ray. Is that the only person that didn't fall for this? There's a lot of us who did not fall for this. Doesn't give any credit to those of us here who have been telling you the truth for the last 3 years. I've been telling you this since the DNC convention. Actually, you know, immediately we knew what was going on. But of course, you know, he doesn't. Again, that's the problem. Ray McGovern, like so many people, all these people around Ed Snowden and everything, they don't want to come on with anybody that they think is tainted by conservatism or being a Trump supporter or a libertarian. You know, they've got to go to the left media. They go to The Nation. They go to Democracy Now. These people don't want to come on and talk with me. It's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. You think that there's any such thing as objective media? I mean, it even extends to the people who want to do interviews. You know, oh, well, you are a Republican organization or you are a Democrat organization or whatever, right? Well, I'm not either. I'm just interested in the truth. And that's going to be in short supply today because we have Bob Mueller testifying. And here's the little troll, Jerry Nadler, who is behind all this as he leads off the Mueller testimony. Let's roll that. Oh, we've got a sound problem here. Okay, we'll come back
to that. The five-minute rule of questions.
Okay, we got it.
I will begin by recognizing myself for 5 minutes.
He'll recognize himself. He's got a mirror.
The president has repeatedly claimed that your report found there was no obstruction and that it completely and totally exonerated him. But that is not what your report said, is it?
Correct. It is not what the report said.
And now, reading from page 2 of volume 2 of your report that's on the screen, you wrote, quote, "If we had confidence after a thorough investigation of the facts that the president clearly did not commit obstruction of justice, we would so state. Based on the facts and the applicable legal standards, however, we are unable to reach that judgment," close quote. Now, does that say there was no obstruction?
No.
In fact, you were actually unable to conclude the president did not commit obstruction of justice. Is that correct?
Well, we, at the outset, determined that we, when it came to the president's culpability, we needed to go forward only after taking into account the OLC opinion that indicated that a president, a sitting president, cannot be indicted.
So the report did not conclude that he did not commit obstruction of justice. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And what about total exoneration? Did you actually totally exonerate the president?
No.
Now, in fact...
Okay, we're going to come back. We'll talk about this when we come back.
Does not exonerate the president.
You know, if you don't want to bring any charges against the president, again, they don't indict. It's up to the Congress to impeach. I think they should. I think that Democrats should show everybody that all they're concerned about is an impeachment circus and doing everything they can for foreign citizens. That is a winning strategy for these guys. It absolutely is. Go for it, Democrats. We'll be right back. Stay with us. All right, we're going to go back to the Mueller hearing in just a moment. President Trump is very angry this morning. Never agreed that Bob Mueller could use one of his many Democrat, never-Trumper lawyers to sit next to him and help him with his answers. This was specifically not agreed to, and I would never have agreed to it. Greatest witch hunt in U.S. history by far, said President Trump this morning, about 4 a.m. And, of course, this all happened within the last 24 hours. This was a change that infuriated the president. He said as soon as he heard it, this was earlier yesterday, as soon as he heard about that, he said, just got back, only to hear of a last-minute change, allowing a never-Trumper attorney to help Bob Mueller in his testimony before Congress tomorrow. What a disgrace to our system. Never heard of this before. He said his lawyer represented the basement server guy who got off free in the crooked Hillary case. This should not be allowed. And so we have Schiff as well as Nadler. Nadler was leading off the questioning. Schiff had been telling Bob Mueller to ignore what the Justice Department instructed him about his testimony. The Associate Deputy Attorney General, Bradley Weisenheimer, said in other discussions, he said that any testimony must remain within the boundaries of your public report because matters within the scope of your investigation were covered by executive privilege, including information protected by law enforcement, deliberative process, attorney work product, and presidential communication privileges. And so he also noted that Mueller had asked for guidance in an earlier letter from the Department of Justice. So they said, here it is, and you keep it to what you talked about in your report, specifically answering questions to clarify that. Adam Schiff, however, told him to ignore it, ignore that letter, that advice from the Department of Justice. So we'll go back to Bob Mueller as he was being questioned by Nadler. And again, when we talk about exoneration, that is not what is ever done in a investigation. You are never declared innocent. They either bring charges against you or they don't. And there wasn't enough information to bring charges against him. There was never anything there. As I said before, this is 3 years of this nonsense that we've had now. And quite frankly, I am tired of it. But let's go back and see what the Democrats are doing, because their card that they could play with us, of course, the reason that President Trump is angry, I think, is because he's innocent. Innocent people get angry when they're falsely accused about things. That's why you don't see Hillary Clinton getting angry. She misdirects. She very coolly misdirects the information there. But the bottom line is that President Trump ought to be looking at this. I know that they're coming after him just to slander him, just to damage him. They're not going to go through and pull the impeachment card, I don't think. They'd be foolish to do that. Nancy Pelosi realizes that they would be foolish to do that. If President Trump sees the big picture, he'd be sitting there like Briar Rabbit and saying, yeah, don't throw me into that briar patch. Don't show what you're all about. You're all about supporting foreign citizens and tying up everything in Washington so that you can pursue your political objectives, your agenda. But let's go back to Nadler questioning Mueller.
Quote.
We're having a problem with that, or is he having a problem speaking?
The president.
Okay. Okay, we're having a problem with that feed. All right, so let me just go a little bit further with this. We're having difficulty getting that feed.
Is it going? Investigations. Is that correct?
Correct.
Had to get some
momentum. Now, Director Mueller, can you explain in plain terms what that finding means so the American people can understand it?
Well, the finding indicates that the president was not... that the president was not exculpated for the acts that he allegedly committed.
Was Hillary?
In fact, you were talking about incidents
in the FISA court
in which the president sought to use his official power outside of usual channels, unquote, to exert undue influence over your investigations. Is that right?
That's correct.
Now, am I correct that on page 7 of volume 2 of your report, you wrote, quote, the president became aware that his own conduct was being investigated in an obstruction of justice inquiry. At that point, the president engaged in a second phase of conduct involving public attacks on the investigation, non-public efforts to control it, and efforts in both public and private to encourage witnesses not to cooperate with the investigation, close quote. So President Trump's efforts to exert undue influence over your investigation intensified after the president became aware that he personally was being investigated?
I stick with the language that you have in front of you.
Which
comes from page 7, volume 2.
Now, is it correct that if you concluded that the president committed the crime of obstruction, you could not publicly state that in your report or here today?
Can you repeat the question, sir?
Is it correct that if you had concluded that the president committed the crime of obstruction, you could not publicly state that in your report or here today?
Well, I would say I could. The statement would be that you would not indict, and you would not indict because under the OLC opinion, a sitting president cannot be indicted, be unconstitutional.
Okay. So you could not state that because of the OLC opinion if that would have been your conclusion?
The OLC opinion was some guide, yes.
But under DOJ, under Department of Justice policy, the president could be prosecuted for obstruction of justice crimes after he leaves office, is correct?
True.
Thank you. Did any senior White House official refuse a request to be interviewed by you and your team?
I don't believe so.
The president?
Well, let me take that back. I would have to look at it, but I'm not certain that that was the case.
Did the president refuse a request to be interviewed by you and your team?
Yes.
Yes. And is it true that you tried for more than a year to secure an interview with the president?
Yes.
And is it true that you and your team advised the president's lawyer that, quote, an interview with the president is vital to our investigation, close
yes.
quote?
Yes.
It's vital
and
to
is
entrapment.
Is it true that you also
they can lie to
quote,
people, but if you
that it is
give
in the interest of the presidency and the public for an interview to take place, close quote?
Yes.
But the president still refused to sit for an interview by you or your team?
True. True.
Maybe he
and did you also
saw what
ask
had happened
him to, provide
to the entrapment
written answers
of Flynn.
To questions on the 10 possible episodes of obstruction of justice crimes involving him?
Yes.
Did he provide any answers to a single question about whether he engaged in obstruction of justice crimes?
I would have to check on that. I'm not certain.
Director Mueller, we are grateful that you are here to explain your investigation and findings. Having reviewed your work, I believe anyone else would engage in the conduct described in your report would have been criminally prosecuted. Your work is vitally important to this committee and the American people because no one is above the law.
Except Hillary Clinton and James Comey. And we can go down the list.
Gentleman from Georgia, Mr. Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And we're moving on.
All right, we've got to take a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We have the Democrats, Nadler and Schiff, have drugged Mueller into court. Mueller is either very old and feeble or he's very nervous when you listen to him answer these questions. One of the things that he had to say as he was pressed on details, he said to Nadler, I stick to the language that you have before you. And this is what he was warned to do by the Department of Justice. And he had asked the Department of Justice for guidance prior to that. And so the game that the Democrats are playing, as Bloomberg points out, is kind of a risky one. On the one hand, they want to try to keep this thing alive that is now 3 years old. This conspiracy theory from the Democrats, from the media, from the Department of Justice, the FBI, the CIA, and British intelligence. They want to try to keep this conspiracy theory alive. They do not want to investigate Hillary Clinton. They will not investigate her for national security breaches. They will not investigate Comey for unequal protection of the law, giving her a pass, coming after a sailor for a very minor picture of his bunk, sending him to jail when she has 30,000 emails and she lets that go. You know, we've got the reports that the Iranians have rounded up American spies, they said. I don't know if that's true or not. They certainly did round up American spies in China. China had an app on Hillary Clinton's server that sent them a copy of every email that she sent or received. And so I can believe that when that type of behavior is sanctioned by the national security state, these people, the CIA and the FBI, are supposed to care about that stuff. They don't care about it when it's Hillary Clinton. And yet you heard Nadler there saying, well, if this was anybody other than the president, would you have come after him for trying to block an investigation into something that you found that he didn't do? And so they're trying to keep this alive. They're trying to continue to slander President Trump. I doubt that they will go full on to impeachment, because that's going to be even riskier for them in terms of the election. Nancy Pelosi knows that. AOC and the Sisterhood of Traveling Burkas doesn't know that. The radical wing of the Democrat Party doesn't know that. They don't realize how badly they're hurting the Democrat Party by pushing full bore for socialism and for totally open borders and for superior benefits to foreign citizens who are criminally trespassing, doing more for them than they are for American citizens. We'll go back to the hearing. Let's see what the next section is here. We just concluded the questioning from Nadler to Mueller. Let's go back to the hearing.
Beyond that, which is already public in any appearance before Congress, do you stand by that statement?
Yes.
Since closing the special counsel's office in May of 2019, have you conducted any additional interviews or obtained any new information in your role as special counsel?
In the wake of the report?
Since the closing of the office in May of 2019.
And the question was,
have you conducted any new interviews and any new witnesses, anything? And you can't confirm you're no longer special counsel, correct?
I am no longer special counsel.
At any time of the investigation, was your investigation curtailed or stopped or hindered?
No.
Were you or your team provided any questions by members of Congress or the majority ahead of your hearing today?
No.
Your report states that your investigative team included 19 lawyers and approximately 40 FBI agents and analysts and accountants. Are those numbers accurate?
Could you repeat that, please?
40 FBI agents, 19 lawyers, intelligence analysts, and forensic accountants. Are those numbers accurate? This was
generally
included,
yes,
in your report.
Generally, yes.
Is it also true that you issued over 2,800 subpoenas, executed nearly 500 search warrants, obtained more than 230 orders for communication records and 50 pen registers?
That went a little fast for me.
Okay. In your report.
Slow down. He's
making
kind of
old. You did a lot of work, correct?
Yes, that I agree.
A lot of subpoenas, a lot of pen registers.
A lot of subpoenas.
Yes. Okay, we'll walk this really slow if we need to.
A lot of search warrants.
I'll take this very slowly for you.
So you're very thorough.
The what?
In your opinion, very thorough. You listed this out in your report, correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Is it true, the evidence gathered during your investigation, given the questions that you have just answered, is it true the evidence gathered during your investigation did not establish that the president was involved in the underlying crime related to Russian election interference as stated in Volume 1, page 7?
We found insufficient evidence of the president's culpability.
So that would be a yes. That would be a yes.
Yes. That's,
thank you. Isn't it true the evidence did not establish that the president or those close to him were involved in the charged Russian computer hacking or active measure conspiracies, or that the president otherwise had unlawful relationships with any Russian official? Volume 2, page 76, correct?
I leave the answer to the our report.
So it is a yes. Is that any true your investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with Russian government in the election interference activity? Volume 1, page 2, volume 1, page 173.
Thank you. Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Although your report states collusion is not so specific offense, and you said that this morning, or a term of art in federal criminal law, conspiracy is, in the colloquial context, are collusion and conspiracy essentially synonymous terms?
You're going to have to repeat that for me.
Collusion is not a specific offense or a term of art in the federal criminal law. Conspiracy is.
Yes.
In the colloquial context, known public context, collusion and conspiracy are essentially synonymous terms, correct?
No.
If no, on page 180 of volume 1 of your report, you wrote, as defined in legal dictionaries, collusion is largely synonymous with conspiracy, as that crime is set forth in the General Federal Conspiracy Statute 18 U.S.C. 371. You said at your May 29th press conference and here today, you choose your words carefully. Are you sitting here today testifying something different than what your report states?
Well, now we know why he was desperate to get a lawyer to help him.
I can look at the citation and evaluate whether it is accurate.
Okay, let me just be clarifying. You stated that you would stay within the report. I just stated your report back to you. And you said that collusion and conspiracy were not synonymous terms. That was your answer, was no.
That's correct.
In that, page 180 of volume 1 of your report, it says, as defined in legal dictionaries, collusion is largely synonymous with conspiracy, as that crime is set forth in General Conspiracy Statute 18 U.S.C. 371. Now, you said you chose your words carefully. Are you contradicting your report right now?
Not when I read it.
So you would change your answer to yes, then?
No.
I'm going to contradict my previous contradiction.
Look at the language.
I'm confused.
I'm reading your report, sir. It's a yes or no answer.
Page 180.
Page 180, volume 1.
Okay.
This was from your report.
It comes after page 179.
I leave it with the report.
So the report says, yes, they are synonymous. Yes. Hopefully, finally, out of your own report, we can put to bed the collusion and conspiracy. One last question as we're going through. Did you ever look into other countries investigated in the Russian interference into our election? Were other countries investigated or found knowledge that they had interference in our election?
I'm not going to discuss other matters.
That I yield back.
Gentleman yields back. The gentlelady from California.
Director Mueller, I think Collins just ate him alive. We're mostly going to talk about obstruction of justice today, but the investigation of Russia's attack that started your investigation is why evidence of possible obstruction is serious. To what extent did the Russian government interfere in the 2016 presidential election?
Could you repeat that, ma'am?
To what extent did the Russian government interfere in the 2016 presidential election?
Well, particularly when it came to computer crimes and the like, the government was implicated.
So you wrote in volume one that the Russian government interfered
without any evidence
in the 2016 presidential election in sweeping and systematic fashion. You also described in your report that the then Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort shared with a Russian operative, Kalimnik, the campaign strategy for winning Democratic votes in Midwestern states.
All right, we've got to go to a break. We'll be right back. But you know, when we look at this, again, as I said, that is the seminal lie that was started by Hillary, Democrats in the Department of Justice, the FBI, the CIA, British intelligence. All of those seminal lies that there was Russian hacking of Hillary Clinton, Russian hacking of the election. President Trump knows that's not true. But we have forensic evidence. We have the testimony of people who have never lied to us, like Julian Assange. That's why they're trying to put him in jail. Very dangerous to tell the truth when the government supports liars. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. We have the Mueller testimony, and as you saw, as we were playing it before, he got very befuddled as Collins was questioning him on the specifics, the difference between conspiracy and collusion. One of those is a legal term, the other one is not, but in the colloquial, wouldn't you say the two are equivalent? No, they're not. And he goes, well, on page 180, you said that they're the same. What is this? You just contradicted your report. I wouldn't contradict a report. Okay, so now you're contradicting your contradictory of the report. That's essentially what we have. Look, folks, I'll tell you exactly what this is about. Going back earlier this month, you had a Georgia Democrat, Hank Johnson, in a Judiciary Committee hearing. It was on July the 12th. And they had people who were testifying. One person who was testifying was Dr. John Eastman, a constitutional law professor at Chapman University's Fowler School of Law, senior fellow at the Claremont Institute, and he took exception to the way that he pronounced Bob Mueller's name. He said Mueller. And he said, I've heard more and more Republicans starting to pronounce Director Mueller's name as, I did it myself, Mueller's name as Mueller. Is that some kind of Republican attempt to besmirch Director Mueller? And he said, maybe it's a bit of my German heritage. See, my mother's maiden name was Stein, and Mueller is the German pronunciation. And then Hank Johnson, the Democrat, said, it's Mueller. And I've heard so many people saying Mueller on the other side, it just seems to me like there's some kind of a secret memo floating out there. Well, I think there are several secret memos. That's the way the Democrats project what they're doing onto other people, right? Yeah, we've got these secret memos about how we're going to besmirch President Trump. That's what this is all about. Besmirch means that you're deliberately trying to damage somebody's reputation. That's what this hearing is about. As Collins pointed out, have you done any further investigation, any more interviews or anything since this was all concluded and you wrote your report back in May? No, I haven't. So why are we doing this? Because the Democrats want to besmirch Trump. There's no new information. The report's been out there. Everybody has seen it. Mueller is now saying, well, I defer to what the report said, except he doesn't know what his report said. He just knows he doesn't like President Trump. And these guys don't like him. And they're not going to go all the way to pulling that impeachment thing. I think that cooler heads like Nancy Pelosi realize how much that's going to damage the Democrats. They don't have anything there in a desperate attempt to try to impeach President Trump out of their sheer political hatred and ambition is going to severely backfire on them. But we're going to go back. There's some more interesting questioning that's happening of Bob Mueller. I got that right this time. Bob Mueller. See, I'm not trying to besmirch him. I'll just let him do that to himself as he kind of struggles to remember what he had to say or to respond to the questions. Things are moving a little bit too fast for Bob Mueller. Maybe as you watch him on this testimony, you start to get an idea why this thing had to drag out for 3 years. All the people who were working with him had to repeat everything three or four times before he could understand it. Before we get back to that, I just want to remind you real quickly about the sales that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We have 50% off of DNA Force Plus, off of Super Male Vitality, up to 50% off of storable foods and water. We have the Alexa Pure Pro water filtration system. That's gravity feed water filtration system. That's now 40% off. That is a massive savings. That's a very expensive thing to have, but it's going to last for years. And, of course, it's gravity feed, so you don't have to have power even during an emergency. Something like a storm where you lose power, you can still get your water clean and filtered. And it's always important to do that whether you live in the city and they're dumping toxic chemicals into it, or out of neglect they're letting lead get into the water, or if you live in rural areas where you might have an industrial waste get into the groundwater, or you may have people who are spraying crops with pesticides that also get into the groundwater. All that will be filtered out. And you can get storable food at up to 50% off. Take a look at the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. Guys, let's go back to this hearing. This is Bob Mueller as part of the besmirch hearings run by the Democrats. Here's Bob Mueller.
Quickly summarize your opening statement this morning. You said in volume one on the issue of conspiracy, the special counsel determined that the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. And then in volume two, for reasons that you explained, the special counsel did not make a determination on whether there was an obstruction of justice crime committed by the president. Is that fair?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
All right. Now, in explaining that special counsel did not make what you called a traditional prosecution or declination decision, the report on the bottom of page 2 of volume 2 reads as follows. The evidence we obtained about the president's actions and intent presents difficult issues that prevent us from conclusively determining that no criminal conduct occurred. Accordingly, while this report does not conclude that the president committed a crime, it also does not exonerate him. Now, I read that correctly?
Yes.
All right. Now, your report, and today you said at all times the special counsel team operated under, was guided by, and followed Justice Department policies and principles. So which DOJ policy or principle sets forth a legal standard that an investigated person is not exonerated if their innocence from criminal conduct is not conclusively determined?
Can you repeat the last part of that question?
Yeah. Which DOJ policy or principle set forth a legal standard that an investigated person is not exonerated if their innocence from criminal conduct is not conclusively determined? Where does that language come from, Director? Where is the DOJ policy that says that? Let me make it easier.
Can I answer? Go ahead.
Can you give me an example other than Donald Trump where the Justice Department determined that an investigated person was not exonerated because their innocence was not conclusively determined?
I cannot, but this is a unique situation.
Okay, well, you can't. Time is short. I've got 5 minutes. Let's just leave it at you can't find it because I'll tell you why. It doesn't exist. The special counsel's job, nowhere does it say that you were to conclusively determine Donald Trump's innocence or that the special counsel report should determine whether or not to exonerate him. It's not in any of the documents. It's not in your appointment order. It's not in the special counsel regulations. It's not in the OLC opinions. It's not in the justice manual. And it's not in the principles of federal prosecution. Nowhere do those words appear together because respectfully, Director, it was not the special counsel's job to conclusively determine Donald Trump's innocence or to exonerate him, because the bedrock principle of our justice system
is a presumption of innocence. That's right.
It exists for everyone. Everyone is entitled to it, including
not anymore. Not anymore. Not if you've
and
got a family.
There is a CPS
is coming after you.
Prosecutors
or the IRS
shouldn't
have a presumption of innocence.
Need to conclusively
We've
determine
forgotten
it.
That.
Now, Director, the special counsel applied this inverted burden of proof that I can't find and you said doesn't exist anywhere in the department policies, and you used it to write a report. And the very first line of your report, says...
This is Ratcliffe,
by the way.
As you
read this morning, it authorizes the special counsel to provide the attorney general with a confidential report explaining the prosecution or declination decisions reached by the special counsel. That's the very first word of your report, right?
That's correct.
Here's the problem, Director. The special counsel didn't do that. On volume one, you did. On volume two, with respect to potential obstruction of justice, the special counsel made neither a prosecution decision or a declination decision. You made no decision. You told us this morning and in your report that you made no determination. So respectfully, Director, you didn't follow the special counsel regulations. It clearly says, write a confidential report about decisions reached. Nowhere in here does it say, write a report about decisions that weren't reached. You wrote 180 pages about decisions that weren't reached, about potential crimes that weren't charged or decided. And respectfully, by doing that, you managed to violate every principle and the most sacred of traditions about prosecutors not offering extra prosecutorial analysis about potential crimes that aren't charged. So Americans need to know this as they listen to the Democrats and socialists on the other side of the aisle, as they do dramatic readings from
Democrats and socialists.
This report, that volume two of this report was not authorized under the law to be written. It was written to a legal standard that does not exist at the Justice Department. And it was written in violation of every DOJ principle about extra prosecutorial commentary. I agree with the chairman this morning when he said Donald Trump is not above the law. He's not. But he damn sure shouldn't be below the law, which is where volume two of this report puts him.
That was excellent questioning. Okay, let's hold it right there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director Mueller, good morning.
Ratcliffe, I'm not sure where he's from, but boy, he was spot on. That's what I've said from the very beginning. There isn't any standard of exoneration, except that there is. You have a presumption of, he's from Texas? Okay, good. Ratcliffe from Texas. You have a presumption of innocence, but people in Washington don't understand that anymore. The press doesn't understand it, and the Democrats certainly don't accept a presumption of innocence. Everybody is guilty. You must prove them exonerated, right?
Making sense common again. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're going to pick up with the Mueller testimony when we come back in the next segment at the top of the hour here. I want to do a little bit of news update again. Yesterday, I talked about how a Pennsylvania school district, actually, I talked about it on Monday, I believe. Yeah, it was Monday. Pennsylvania school district sent out threatening letters to 1,000 families threatening that they were going to have their children taken away and turned over to foster care. Why? Because they were behind in their school lunch money payments. They said, we're owed as much as $20,000 by 1,000 families. That would be $20 apiece. That's the price of losing your kid to these people in Pennsylvania. And they said, well, four of them owe us as much as $450. Even that. Even if that were true. Have your kid taken away for $450 that you owe to the school lunch program? And so you had a local businessman, chief executive and co-founder of a Philadelphia-based coffee company, offered publicly to pay the $22,000. You know, he'll pay off this debt for these parents so they don't have to be concerned that their kids are going to be taken away. And it's absolutely amazing that the school board president, Joseph Mazur, rejected the offer from Todd Carmichael, this CEO of the coffee company in Philadelphia. He rejected the offer during a phone conversation. He argued that the money is, quote, owed by parents, and they can afford to pay it. But he's not going to let somebody else pay it on their behalf. They can afford it, and they're going to pay it. And furthermore, he doubled down and said, we've planned other ways to get the lunch money. Because even CPS in that jurisdiction is balking about this. This is bad PR. And this is the arrogance of this school board that they're going to push ahead with this. Not only would they reject what Todd Carmichael wanted to give them, and Carmichael was absolutely amazed. His representative said the position of Mr. Carmichael is irrespective of affluence, irrespective of need. He just wants to wipe away this debt. Carmichael said, I know what it means to be hungry. I know what it means to feel shame for not being able to afford food. See, he has compassion. What is the motivation of the school board member, this president? Well, the school district officials, not just one person, but the officials as a board, have said they plan other ways to get the lunch money. Yeah, we've got means. We're going to file a district court complaint. Or maybe we'll put liens on their property. We're going to get that money from those people. They owe me $20 and I'm going to get it. I can't take away their kids. I'm going to steal their home or their car. And I'm not going to let this guy pay that bill off. I'm going to make them pay it. They're going to pay one way or the other. They warned parents that they could, quote, be sent to dependency court for neglecting your child's right to food. Meanwhile, Todd Carmichael, the businessman, said, I'm just going to hold on. I'm going to continue to be optimistic. And I'm going to see if we can't do something. Even if you're a difficult person, what can we do to make this right? Still, trying to do the right thing. But folks, it's not about money. It's not about money. It's not about compassion. It is about power. And it is about intimidation. And I have to ask you, why are you turning your children over to these schools? That's not the worst thing that they do. The worst thing that they do is this transgender gender agenda that they've got going, that they're pushing against the kids. And we're going to talk about that later in the program as well. But it is absolutely amazing to me, the arrogance of these officials. And while we're talking about schools, we have a public school textbook in Turkey has just been translated. It justifies 9/11. It slams NATO, and it brands EU as a Christian club. Again, this is Erdogan, who wants to establish a global caliphate with himself as the head. And, of course, he sees himself as a competition to Fethullah Gulen, an Islamic cleric who is being protected by the CIA in this country. He gets $720 million worth of government money in charter schools to run schools here. What is he teaching there? Well, he says he's only teaching science and math. Everywhere else in the world, in his 1,000-plus schools, he's teaching Islamic aggression. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back, and of course it is Wednesday, July 24th, 2019. We have Bob Mueller. Even though nothing has happened for several months, the report has been published. There have been no new interviews, but the Democrats want to make sure that they can, in the words of a Democrat congressman saying, yeah, you're mispronouncing Mueller's name. You're calling him Mueller. Mueller, are you trying to besmirch him? Well, that's what this whole thing is about. This is about besmirching President Trump. You just heard. As we were playing in the last segment of the hour, You heard a congressman from Texas, Ratcliffe, get to the point of saying, is there any standard? You know, we keep talking about you did not find him exonerated. Is that the purpose of the Department of Justice? Is that the purpose of investigations? I thought we had in this country a presumption of innocence, and that was where the congressman was wrong. That presumption of innocence has not existed for quite some time. Just talk to the parents who've had their kids removed. Talk to the people who have had their property stolen with civil asset forfeiture. There's no presumption of innocence. There's no finding of guilt. As a matter of fact, they don't even get a trial. They're not even charged with anything. And if we allow this, if our elected officials, if our congressmen, if our president, if our Department of Justice allows this to you and I, to the common people, should they expect to be treated any better? They have forgotten the principle of presumption of innocence. I'm glad that Representative Ratcliffe reminded him of this. Perhaps they could remind them of the presumption of innocence and the other aspects of due process that are thrown out the window every time some bureaucracy or the administrative state comes after one of us who are nobody. We're nobodies down here. We're just, you know, just Americans, nothing but Americans. Everybody comes ahead of Americans. Foreign citizens, criminally trespassing, they get superior rights. They get due process. Their kids cannot be separated from them, even if we don't know if they're their kids. Even if those kids might have been turned over to cartel traffickers or kidnapped. Even if the parents were recklessly endangering the kids, dragging them across the border, they cannot be separated to have their identities validated. But if CPS, because some idiot in an authoritarian school district of Pennsylvania is owed $20, they can threaten to turn you over to CPS. And people have been turned over to CPS across this country for far less than that. It is a multi-billion dollar industry, and they don't care about that. AOC and these other people who are weeping crocodile tears at a chain link fence with no kids on the other side, they don't care about American kids. They don't care about any of that stuff. They don't care about kids being separated. As I covered yesterday, she's saying, well, these kids have been separated, some of them, up to a year. And this is traumatic for them, and we need to give them lifelong care for that. Do you realize how many American children taken away from their parents, parents never charged with anything, never given due process, and they have to fight for over a year to get their kids back while their kids are in foster care? They are raped. They are given psychotropic drugs and various other things that are happening to them, not to mention the psychological abuse. No concern about Americans. If you don't care about Americans at the bottom rung, we don't care about you at the top. Lock them all up as far as I'm concerned. Let's go back to this dog and pony show on Congress. Go ahead and pick it up. Yeah.
And from Ohio.
Director, the FBI interviewed Joseph Mifsud on February 10th, 2017. In that interview, Mr. Mifsud lied. You point this out on page 193, volume 1, Mifsud denied.
Okay, this is Jim Jordan. This is going to be good.
Stated. In addition, Mifsud omitted. Three times he lied to the FBI, yet you didn't charge him with the crime.
Excuse me, did you say 193?
Volume 1, 193. He lied three times, you pointed out in the report. Why didn't you charge him with the crime?
I can't get into internal deliberations with regard to who would or would not be.
There's a different standard.
Charge a lot of other people for making
false. There's
no
presumption of innocence, and there's no equal protection of the law. This is America.
In 2016, the FBI did something they probably haven't done before. They spied on two American citizens associated with a presidential campaign, George Papadopoulos and Carter Page. With Carter Page, they went to the FISA court. They used the now famous dossier as part of the reason they were able to get the warrant and spy on Carter Page for a better part of a year. With Mr. Papadopoulos, they didn't go to the court. They used human sources. All kinds of, from about the moment Papadopoulos joins the Trump campaign, you got all these people all around the world starting to swirl around him. Names like Halper, Downer, Mifsud, Thompson, meeting in Rome, London, all kinds of places. The FBI even sent a lady posing as somebody else, went by the name Azra Turk, even dispatched her to London to spy on Mr. Papadopoulos. In one of these meetings, Mr. Papadopoulos is talking to a foreign diplomat, and he tells the diplomat, Russians have dirt on Clinton. That diplomat then contacts the FBI, and the FBI opens an investigation based on that fact. You point this out on page 1 of the report. July 31st, 2016, they opened the investigation based on that piece of information. Diplomat tells Papadopoulos Russians have dirt. Excuse me. Papadopoulos tells a diplomat Russians have dirt on Clinton. Diplomat tells the FBI. What I'm wondering is, who told Papadopoulos? How'd he find out?
I can't get into the evidentiary file.
Yes, you can, because you wrote about it. You gave us the answer. Page 192 of the report, you tell us who told him.
Oh, who wrote
Joseph that? Joseph Mifsud. Joseph Mifsud's a guy who told Papadopoulos. The mysterious professor who lives in Rome and London, works at teaching in two different universities. This is the guy who told Papadopoulos. He's the guy who starts it all. And when the FBI interviews him, he lies three times. And yet you don't charge him with a crime. You charge Rick Gates for false statements. You charge Paul Manafort for false statements. You charge Michael Cohen with false statements. You charge Michael Flynn, a three-star general, with false statements. But the guy who puts the country through this whole saga, starts it all for 3 years we've lived this now, he lies, and you guys don't charge him. And I'm curious as to why.
Well, I can't get into it, and it's obvious, I think, that we can't get into charging decisions.
When the FBI interviewed him in February, when the special counsel's office interviewed Mifsud, did he lie to you guys, too?
Can't get into that.
Did you interview Mifsud?
Can't get into that.
Is Mifsud Western intelligence or Russian intelligence?
Can't get into that.
A lot of things you can't get into. What's interesting, you can charge 13 Russians no one's ever heard of, no one's ever seen, no one's ever going to hear of them, no one's ever going to see them. You can charge them. You can charge all kinds of people who are around the president with false statements. But the guy who launches the guy who puts this whole story in motion, you can't charge him. I think that's amazing.
I'm not certain I agree with your characterizations.
Well, I'm reading from your report. Mifsud told Papadopoulos. Papadopoulos tells the diplomat. The diplomat tells the FBI. The FBI opens the investigation July 31st, 2016. And here we are 3 years later, July of 2019. The country's been put through this. And the central figure who launches it all lies to us. And you guys don't hunt him down and interview him again. And you don't charge him with a crime. Now, here's the good news. The president was falsely accused of conspiracy. The FBI does a 10-month investigation, and James Comey, when we deposed him a year ago, told us at that point they had nothing. You do a 22-month investigation. At the end of that 22 months, you find no conspiracy. And what's the Democrats want to do? They want to keep investigating. They want to keep going. Maybe a better course of action, is to figure out how the false accusation started. Maybe it's to go back and actually figure out why Joseph Mifsud was lying to the FBI. And here's the good news. That's exactly what Bill Barr's doing. And thank goodness for that. That's exactly what the Attorney General and John Durham are doing. They're going to find out why we went through this three-year saga and get to the bottom of it.
Time of the gentleman is expired.
Yes, hold it right there. What did I say at the beginning of this program? I said, because we accepted this red herring that was put out there by Hillary Clinton and the DNC and the people who work for her, crowdsourced. They said, oh, it was Russians who hacked it. The FBI said, oh, okay, you don't have to show us the servers. We'll just go away. I'm sure there's nothing to see here. If we accept their thing, don't pay attention to what's leaked. Let's talk about who leaked this. And we go down that path. And, of course, President Trump took that bait. And if you go down that path and you don't look at what was in it, then you don't understand who was really directing this whole thing. And that's exactly what we just heard. Welcome back. You know, in the lead up to this hearing, we had Jerry Nadler, who led this off, said, I will start by recognizing myself. It's like we all recognize you for what you are, Jerry Nadler. He came out and he said, prior to this hearing, he said, this is a president who has violated the law six ways from Sunday. No, he hasn't. As you heard in that testimony that we've played for you, they asked him, you know, you've had how many lawyers working on this and how much money and how many years have you been working on this? Do you think it was thorough? Yes. Well, you didn't find any violations. No. And you said that conspiracy is different from collusion, right? Oh, yes, it is. And yet here on page 180, you said they're the same thing. Well, did I say that? Oh, did I really say that? And then you had Representative Ratcliffe of Texas, and he hammered him over the idea that there is some kind of a standard of exoneration And, of course, that all is there because nobody in Washington or the press, I've mentioned this many, many, many times, when they first started talking about this exoneration thing, I said, wait a minute, that's not what this is about. You investigate somebody. If there's an accusation, somebody alleges that something is done, then you do an investigation. But there is a presumption of innocence, but no more. None of us are presumed innocent. So why would the president, why would a congressman be presumed innocent? They don't afford that to ordinary citizens. I know there's a different standard for them, but what they're going to find out is that eventually they are not even protected when we depart from the fundamental principles that have established our civilization, and that's where the Democrats are right now. It is a party of Marxists and of anarchists. It is a party that wants to censor free speech, wants to remove the presumption of innocence, due process, search warrants, and everything else. And, of course, a double standard, as you just heard from Jim Jordan. Here you say that Mifsud lied to you several times in your report. Yeah, why didn't you put any charges against him? Well, I'm not going to answer that. Well, I answer it for you. We don't have equal protection under the law. As a matter of fact, we have the Christian Saucier, the sailor who was on the submarine. He took a picture of his bunk. And they said, well, that picture, anything that you take, any picture that you take in a submarine, you can take a picture of the floor of a submarine. And that is born confidential. And so it's therefore classified at the lowest level. And yet, after James Comey said, Hillary Clinton committed all these felonies with national security violations, but, well, it's not in our interest to do anything to her, but don't you try this. And then a month later, he goes after Christian Saucier, finds him guilty. He serves over a year in jail, I think. And then President Trump pardoned him. He'd served his time. President Trump pardoned him to clear his record so it wouldn't interfere with him making a living, that type of thing. But he is now suing these SOBs who don't think that we have equal protection. There's one standard of law for Hillary Clinton and the Democrats, and there's another one for everybody else. Not even the Republicans get the presumption of innocence. Not even the Republicans get search warrants. Not even the Republicans get due process. Republican leaders. That's the place where we are right now. And quite frankly, when we look at this, and you talk about foreign collusion, the foreign collusion, as we all know, was between the FBI, the CIA, and foreign intelligence in the UK. That's real foreign collusion. The sad thing about it is that Trump and most in the GOP still pushed this seminal lie that there was Russian hacking, that the Russians got that information from the DNC, that the Russians manipulated our election. That is the seminal lie. No, they didn't. The people who are manipulating our elections are Google and Facebook and Twitter, other companies like that. They're the ones who are manipulating and hacking our election, not somebody who buys a small amount of ads, even if that was affiliated with the Russian government. $100,000 on Facebook when the entire platform of Facebook is against President Trump. And we're going to say, well, this $100,000 were bought by this Russian agency, $100,000 worth of ads, and we think that they were pro-Trump, and so therefore they rigged the election. No, 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 no. The entire platform was rigged against President Trump, but it is now on steroids against President Trump and Republicans. But they choose to look the other way. They choose to look the other way about the real foreign collusion. And so they're being hoisted by their own petard. And the thing that is very concerning to me about this is that they still, you got the GOP, you got President Trump saying, yeah, okay. We'll cede the point that the Russians hacked the election. We'll cede the point that the Russians got Hillary Clinton's emails. And we won't talk about what those emails are about and so forth. Or why she would create these lies and do that with the collusion of the media and the Washington establishment. We won't talk about any of that. We'll just cede the point that it was Russians. And we will come after Julian Assange because he told the truth. You know, that's the thing that concerns me, because what that tells me is that the Trump administration has become captive to the CIA. When they're coming after Julian Assange, the people who told us the truth about this, then they have become captive to these people. That's the thing that concerns me about this. But we're not talking about that. I want to move on to something else here that concerns us at the grassroots level. Because, quite frankly, they have allowed this kind of corruption of our judicial system to last for so long, to be so widespread in so many different areas against everyday Americans, that I have absolutely no sympathy for anybody in the Republican or Democrat Party who get pulled into this quagmire. No sympathy whatsoever. As we look at this persecution that is coming out, we just had Project Veritas with another individual at Google talking about this. The guy's name is Coppola. He's a senior software engineer at Google. He works on AI. He works on the Google Assistant. He said, as a background, he says, "I've been coding since I was 10 years old. I have a PhD. I have 5 years experience at Google, and I just know how algorithms are. They don't write themselves. We write them to do what we want them to do. You understand that?" That's very, very important. Because when I began in electrical engineering, computer programming, 40-plus years ago, everybody would get so excited about a computer printout. You know, hey, you know, look at that. I've got this model, and I got this printout, and look at this. And it's like, yeah, okay, well, your model is wrong, your assumptions are wrong, and so your printout is garbage. Garbage in, garbage out, right? But there was always this mystique about having a computer printout. And if you didn't call BS on that, you could get a lot of people to fall down and worship you on that, right? And now the same thing is being done about artificial intelligence. Oh, these computers, they're just doing this on their own. That was always the implication, even back in the 1960s and 70s. Oh, look, the computer gave me this answer. No, it didn't. The people who programmed it gave you that answer. And now that's exactly what this guy is saying. I know how algorithms are. They don't write themselves. We write them to do what we want them to do. See, they're gaslighting everybody. They're now saying, well, now the computers are so smart that they're out there doing this stuff on their own, and it's not me. It's not my personal biases that are being reflected here. And he calls BS on that. He said, he spoke to Project Veritas. He says, I think we're at a really important point in human history. I think for a while we had tech that was politically neutral. Now we have tech that really, first of all, is taking sides in a political contest, which I think you know, anytime you have a big corporate power merging with political parties, it can be dangerous. It has also got a name. It's called fascism. Fascism. The merger of corporate and political power, and now you have technical fascism. It's much more dangerous. We'll be right back.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're going to go back to the hearings in just a moment. We have some more questions that are going there. But I want to talk about what's going on in the bigger picture, what is happening to you and I. We've just had YouTube ban the word Christian. And of course, Paul Joseph Watson has talked about this as well. We're going to tell you what the context was for that. And I'm telling you, I'm not taking this out of context. We got the screenshots from the individual, says, we will not accept your ad because of a rejected for a particular word. And that word is Christian. Wait for it. And we got the screenshots that he put up on Twitter. But as context to this, Project Veritas has published an on-the-record interview with an insider who works at Google named Greg Coppola. Understand, this is not an undercover video where somebody is monologuing and bragging about how important they are and what they can do to people and everything. No, this is a guy who's very concerned about what he's seen at Google. And he sought out Project Veritas, went on the record, gave his name to talk about what he has seen there. I pointed out, he says he's got a PhD, he's got 5 years experience at Google. He said, I started in 2014. It was an amazing time to be at Google. We didn't talk about politics, but they do now. So we didn't talk about politics. No one talked about politics. You know, it was just a chance to work with the best computer scientist in the world, the best facilities, the best computers, and free food. But that's not the case now. Now he is coming out at great risk to his career. I mean, he's worked a long time to get a PhD. And he's put all this at risk now for coming out and talking about this. He said, I think, you know, it's ridiculous to say there's no bias at Google. He said, I think everyone who supports anything other than Democrats, anyone who is pro-Trump or in any way deviates from what CNN and the New York Times are pushing, notices how bad it is. He said, I think we had a very long period of time, 10 years, let's say, where we had search and social media that did not have a political bias. And we kind of got used to the idea that the top search results at Google were probably the answer. What happened with that? Well, you saw what happened with it. And the year before we were taken out, you saw that you had congressmen talking to these social media platforms, these internet giants, saying, we've got InfoWars trending at the top of your search list. What's going on with that? What are you doing about that? Congressman, can we talk about this privately, please? Well, we'll fix this. And they did. They took down Alex Jones and InfoWars all at once. All of the tech companies within 10 hours took down InfoWars all at once. My YouTube channel at the time had over 60,000 followers. I'd never had a single strike. I was never given a reason for why it was taken down. I got an email. Your account has had a complaint and has been removed. And they kept sending that to me for about 3 months. Never got an explanation. About every 10 minutes, I would get that automated response. Would never reply to any filing that we had through the system. Nothing. Nothing at all. And so, yeah, it's become very political. And I think, again, hats off to this guy. Here's a guy, and I've said many times, the problem that we have for engineers and for scientists is that they get so caught up in the idea that they're working on this problem. You know, this is a puzzle. It's a problem. I want to solve this thing. They get caught up in the technical aspects of it. They get seduced by that, and they don't see the big picture. This guy saw the big picture, and he didn't like what it looks like. Hats off to him for doing that. So many people who work for the military-industrial complex, work for these Silicon Valley censors, don't see the big picture and how it's going to ultimately affect them. Many times they'll just ignore it. They'll just focus on the technical details, compartmentalize. Or they'll think that they're on the winning side and they're going to not be attacked on this. Some people see the big picture. Greg Coppola sees the big picture. He said, I think we're really important point in human history. We had tech that used to be politically neutral. It's not anymore. And let's understand, I know, because I've got a PhD and I work on artificial intelligence, I know these things don't write themselves. We give them our own political biases, okay? We write them to do what we want them to do, he said. He said, we're seeing tech using its power to manipulate people. It reminds me of the old Twilight Zone episode where the aliens come to Earth. And they say, what are you here for? Our mission is to serve mankind. Hey, great. You know, they give them a bunch of free stuff initially, right? Initially. And then all of a sudden, you know, they start taking people to go, meet the other people on the other side. And they never seem to come back. And some guy sneaks onto one of the ships and he finds to serve mankind. And he looks in the book and it's a recipe book. And that's basically what has happened to tech. They have flipped the script in the same way that you've seen this script flipped at the Department of Justice. There's no presumption of innocence. No, no, no. There is a presumption that you are guilty and you have to prove that you're exonerated, say the Democrats, say Bob Mueller. I'm glad they called him on that. Let's hope that it doesn't just die with this particular investigation. There are people dying all across this country because we don't have the presumption of innocence, because we don't have equal protection under the law, because the Constitution and law and justice have been discarded in this country. Trump isn't the only one that this has happened to. Let's not pretend that that's the case. I'm sick of the fact that nobody cares about the little man and the little woman and the families that are being destroyed by this predatory system that we call a government here in America. And so where is this taking us here with YouTube? Yeah, on Tuesday, even the word Christian has been taken out. Watson said, it's now become a dirty word to Silicon Valley. He said, perhaps this guy who's being banned, perhaps he should have used the term Easter worshiper. Easter worshiper. And what you can see is this is Chad Robichaux. He has a ministry that is an outreach for those who are in need. They actually work for veterans, I believe. Yeah, veterans ministry. And so they put an ad there, and they got a message back from YouTube, said, sorry, the following keywords violate Google's advertising policies. And it said underneath it, unacceptable content keyword, Christian. The only thing they objected to was they used the word Christian. Cannot use that. And so I retweeted that, and I said, you know, Christian beliefs, is this really a surprise? How long has it been? You know, going back to the mid-20th century, we have seen that Christian beliefs and the free exercise of the Christian religion that are explicitly protected by the Constitution have been deemed unacceptable, not by Google, but by our courts, by our schools, by the corporate media, by Hollywood, then by social media, also by local government officials. Oh, no, 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 no. You can't exercise your beliefs, and we hate your beliefs. As a matter of fact, you know, it's now all haram, right? I'm sure that would have been fine if they had run an ad and used Islam. Oh, but not Christian. Can't do that. Can't do that. Because they hate us and they hate our beliefs. Everything that we do is hate speech. And so now the very word Christian is taken out. That's why I said, you know, we had the pastor who was in Turkey as a missionary. He was arrested as part of this competition between Fethullah Gulen and Erdogan. He was held in prison for 2 years and 2 months. Finally, President Trump and his administration got him out of there. They put him into a jail cell that was built for eight people, but they'd crammed 21 other people in there. So 22 people in a jail cell that was built for eight people. He would only get out 1 hour per week, 1 hour per week. The rest of the time he was there 24-7. He was getting sick. He was about to die. He comes back to America and he says, I can't believe what's happened to America. He's coming from that environment and he thinks the persecution in America is even more dangerous. Yes, it is. Why? Because they have technology on their side. Because we have so much more power than Turkey does. And he said, you better stand up. There's going to be a cost if you don't stand up. There's going to be a cost if you stand up, but if you wait and do it later, it's going to cost you even more. You better stand up to this stuff. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. We've got Matt Gaetz questioning Bob Mueller. I got to say Mueller because if I say Mueller, then I would be besmirching him, says the Democrat. But, of course, this whole show trial is to besmirch President Trump. They're not mispronouncing his name. They're not calling him Orange Man today, but they're calling him everything else under the sun. But we've got some Republicans who have been right on point. Pointing out, you know, you don't have equal protection of the law. You have all these, you say in your report that Mifsud lied three times, but you didn't file any charges against him. Don't we have the presumption of innocence? No, we don't have that either. And of course, Mueller is looking pretty befuddled, quite frankly. He's showing his age right here. But we're going to get back to this back and forth between Matt Gaetz and Bob Mueller. In just a moment. Before we do, real quickly, I want to remind you about the sale that we have at InfoWarsStore.com because that's what funds this program and everything that we do here. We have run low on many of our most popular items after our 1776 sale, but we do have some items that we have drastically reduced in price, some big-ticket items that are 40, 50% off. DNA Force Plus, that is a very expensive supplement for us to produce, but it is very, very essential for you to protect your longevity. And I'm not going to go into the details about DNA Force. I've talked about that before. But again, it's a very expensive product to produce. 50% off is a massive dollar savings. You can get that right now. Also, we have all storable foods up to 50% off. We have InfoWars Life protein bars are 40% off. And another big ticket item, Alexa Pure Pro water gravity feed water filtration system. Again, you don't need to have electricity. You can still filter your water, even in a power outage, but it's very effective. at taking out all kinds of inorganic chemicals as well as organic contamination. If you're on city water or if you are on well water, groundwater gets very contaminated. It's not just in the cities where they purposely dump fluoride, where out of neglect you can frequently have things like lead, as we saw in Flint, Michigan. But of course, if you're in a rural area, there's a lot of times that you can have industrial waste contaminate the groundwater, or you can have pesticides that work their way down into the groundwater. Things like glyphosate, all of that is filtered out by these water filters. If you don't have one, this is a great time to get one 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, let's go back and join this back and forth questioning. This is Matt Gaetz questioning Bob Mueller at the latest show trial. Here we are 3 years in, and it's still going on. Here's
Matt Gaetz. You state with confidence that the Steele dossier was not part of Russia's disinformation campaign?
No, I said it in my opening statement. Building of the case was predated me and by at least 10 months.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Manafort's alleged crimes regarding tax evasion predated you. You had no problem charging them. And matter of fact, this Steele dossier predated the attorney general, and he didn't have any problem answering the question. When Senator Cornyn asked the attorney general the exact question I asked you, Director, the attorney general said, and I'm quoting, "No, I can't state that with confidence. And that's one of the areas I'm reviewing. I'm concerned about it, and I don't think it's entirely speculative." Now, if something is not entirely speculative, then it must have some factual basis. But you identify no factual basis regarding the dossier or the possibility that it was part of the Russia disinformation campaign. Now, Christopher Steele's reporting is referenced in your report. Steele reported to the FBI that senior Russian foreign ministry figures, along with other Russians, told him that there was, and I'm quoting from the Steele dossier, extensive evidence of conspiracy between the Trump campaign team and the Kremlin. So here's my question. Did Russians really tell that to Christopher Steele, or did he just make it all up and was he lying to the FBI?
Let me back up a second, if I could, and say, as I said earlier, with regard to the Steele, that's beyond my purview.
No, it is exactly your purview, Director Mueller, and here's why. Only one of two things is possible, right? Either Steele made this whole thing up and there were never any Russians telling him of this vast criminal conspiracy that you didn't find, or Russians lied to Steele. Now, if Russians were lying to Steele to undermine our confidence in our duly elected president, that would seem to be precisely your purview, because you stated in your opening that the organizing principle was to fully and thoroughly investigate Russia's interference. But you weren't interested in whether or not Russians were interfering through Christopher Steele. And if Steele was lying, then you should have charged him with lying like you charged a variety of other people. But you say nothing about this in your report.
Well,
meanwhile, Director, you're quite loquacious on other topics. You write 3,500 words about the June 9 meeting between the Trump campaign and Russian lawyer Veselnitskaya. You write on page 103 of your report that the president's legal team suggested, and I'm quoting from your report, that the meeting might have been a setup by individuals working with the firm that produced the Steele reporting. So I'm going to ask you a very easy question, Director Mueller. On the week of June 9, who did Russian lawyer Veselnitskaya meet with more frequently? The Trump campaign or Glenn Simpson, who was functionally acting as an operative for the Democratic National Committee?
Well, what I think is missing here is the fact that this is under investigation elsewhere in the Justice Department.
I get that,
and if I can finish, sir, and consequently, it's not within my purview. Department of Justice and FBI should be responsive to questions on this particular issue.
It is absurd to suggest that a operative for the Democrats was meeting with this Russian lawyer the day before and the day after the Trump Tower meeting, and yet that's not something you referenced. Now, Glenn Simpson testified under oath he had dinner with Veselnitskaya the day before and the day after this meeting with the Trump team. Do you have any basis, as you sit here today, to believe that Steele was lying?
As I said before, I'll say again, it's not my purview. Others are investigating what you
Your purview to look into whether or not Steele's lying. It's not your purview to look into whether or not anti-Trump Russians are lying to Steele. And it's not your purview to look at whether or not Glenn Simpson was meeting with the Russians the day before and the day after you write 3,500 words about the Trump campaign meeting. So I'm wondering how these decisions are guided. I look at the Inspector General's report. I'm citing from page 404 of the Inspector General's report. It states, Page stated, Trump's not ever going to be president, right? Right. Strzok replied, no, he's not. We'll stop it. also in the Inspector General's report, there's someone identified as Attorney Number 2. Attorney Number 2, this is page 419, replied, hell no, and then added, viva la resistance. Attorney Number 2 in the Inspector General's report and Strzok both worked on your team, didn't they?
Pardon me? Can you ask?
They both worked on your team, didn't they?
I know. I heard Strzok. Who else were you talking about?
Attorney Number 2 identified in the Inspector General's report.
Okay. And the question was?
Did he work for you? The guy who said viva la resistance.
Peter Strzok worked for me for a period of time. Yes.
Yeah, but so did the other guy that said viva la resistance. And here's what I'm kind of noticing, Director Mueller. When people associated with Trump lied, you threw the book at them. When Christopher Steele lied, nothing. And so it seems to be that when Glenn Simpson met with Russians, nothing. When the Trump campaign met with Russians, 3,500 words. And maybe the reason why there are this discrepancies in what you focused on is because the team
time
was so biased.
Time of the gentleman has expired.
Pledged to
Mr.
stop
Trump. Jeffries of New York is recognized.
Mr. Mueller, obstruction of justice is a serious crime that strikes at the core of an investigator's effort to find the truth, correct?
Correct.
The crime of obstruction of justice has three elements, true?
True.
The first element is an obstructive act, correct?
Correct.
An obstructive act could include taking an action that would delay or interfere with an ongoing investigation as set forth in Volume 2, page 87 and 88 of your report. True?
I'm sorry, could you again repeat the question?
An obstructive act could include taking an action that would delay or interfere with an ongoing investigation.
That's true.
Your investigation found evidence that President Trump took steps to terminate the special counsel, correct?
Correct.
Okay, we got to take a break. Mueller, that is Representative Hakeem Jeffries out of New Jersey, I believe it is. But again, going back to what Matt Gaetz had to say, and of course, as you see the Democrats coming back, they keep going back to the obstruction charge. Did President Trump delay this? Is this why it took you millions of dollars in 3 years to do this? Well, they still did everything that they wanted to do. I mean, they had hundreds of lawyers on this, millions of dollars spent. They didn't find anything, even though they have, as you just heard Matt Gaetz talking to him about the double standard and the idea that this thing would be instigated by the Democrats lying about this, leaking this to other organizations, getting this printed and then taking the reports of the New York Times, taking that to the FISA court. The Star Chamber process is at the center of all of this. Will they ever fix that? Why do we have the FISA court? Why did they have the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act back in the 1970s? That was a product of the Frank Church hearing. Why? Because they were spying on Americans without search warrants in the 1960s. As soon as the CIA and the NSA were created, they started spying on Americans unconstitutionally, illegally, without a search warrant. We let that go. They said, well, we're going to create FISA court. That has been used as a tool to enable them to spy, to have legal coverage to spy on people without a search warrant. This is all the fruit of a poisonous tree. That's not a legal precedent that is as clear as presumption of innocence, but that should throw all of this out because it's a poisonous tree.
Liberty, it's your move. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. I want to go back to what I talked about yesterday briefly. We're going to go back to the Mueller hearings in just a moment. But let's take this down to the level where you and I live. We had Governor Abbott here in Texas sign the Chick-fil-A protection bill, saying we're not going to discriminate and boycott businesses because we don't like their religious beliefs. You know, Chick-fil-A was punished in San Antonio when the local officials there said they gave money to the Salvation Army and the Christian Athlete Fellowship or something like that. And we don't like those organizations because they have a different definition of marriage than we do. That makes them hateful. And we're going to boycott them as a government organization. And then you had Reason Magazine say that Governor Abbott and the Texas officials were being hypocritical because they were throttling the boycott, diversify, and was it, sanction or something, the BDS movement, try to boycott Israel. It said, we're not going to let government organizations do that. I said, see, that's hypocritical. You're not allowing people to have free speech there. And I pointed out yesterday what reason doesn't understand anymore. It used to be that libertarians would have the view that everything that government does is wrong and irredeemable, but corporations can do no wrong, right? Now they've gone the other direction because of their hatred for Christians that you see now rampant in the Libertarian Party, for example. And what they're doing in both, it's not hypocritical. It is the same thing. They're saying, you're not going to punish a business. We're not going to allow the government to run boycotts. You know, you don't like Chick-fil-A's giving money to the Salvation Army because the Salvation Army believes in traditional marriage and you don't. Well, you're not going to be able to use your government office to punish them. And they're saying the same thing about the BDS movement. You don't like Israel for whatever reason, you're not going to use your position as a Texas official to punish them. It's just that simple. The government should be neutral. The tech companies should be neutral. They shouldn't be taking sides on this. Yeah, you're fine. You hate Christians, fine. You hate Jews, fine. But that, do that on your own time. You're not going to do that as a government official. So there's nothing hypocritical about that. But take a look at what's going on Facebook and what an individual is doing, organizing a boycott there. Now, of course, he is allowed to do that. But I want you to see that this goes a good bit beyond just a boycott. There's a lot of hatred of an individual simply because he's Jewish, just like these people hate Chick-fil-A because they're Christians. He's got a chain, and I saw this. It's a Burger I Am. They say that it's pronounced Burger I Am. It means many burgers in Hebrew. So I was going to pronounce it as Burgerim because, you know, the word Elohim is plural. So I thought it was Burgerim. But it's Burger I Am. He has a headquarters in Encino, California. But the chain was founded in Israel. And so that makes the Arab Americans here very hateful of it. And so you had this one guy go on Facebook and he says, I told you, you are not like us. You have Palestinian Lebanese blood on your hands if you open up that burger joint. So he's trying to open it up in Michigan, in Royal Oak, Michigan. And he also ran afoul of the political correctness of Islam when he pitched a tent, handed out free burgers to promote the store that was going to be opening in Michigan. And he made the mistake of doing it on the Muslim holiday of Ramadan. And by the next morning, they had destroyed his tent. And when you look at this and the guy says, I told you, you're not like us. You're going to have blood on your hands and so forth. He does that on Facebook. Now, is that hate? Well, yes. Is that bullying? Well, yes. Is it a boycott? Yes. Should he be allowed to have hatred and bullying and racist speech on there and boycott people? Yeah. But Facebook has a double standard, don't they? You know, I think when this guy puts this up here, I think it's very beneficial for us to all see that hatred on display. That's why I don't want to see it censored, but it's wrong.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. I was just talking about a burger chain. Again, I said it looked like Burgerim. I said many Hebrews and many burgers in Hebrew. You have Arab Americans, they say. I'm sure they're Muslim, because their big issue with it was not only the fact that the burger chain was started by a Jewish guy. Can't have that. First, I saw this. I saw that they're very angry at it. It's like, what are they doing? Are they selling pork? No. It's just burgers. But he happens to be Jewish, so they hate him for that. And they hate him because he was offering free burgers just before the opening of his show and or his store. And they said, well, that's Ramadan. And so you see what's happening here is these people are not just exercising hate speech, bullying, and boycotting. And that's allowed by Facebook for these people, right? If you just say that I believe in traditional marriage between one man and one woman, and I believe that people, the gender should be determined by biology, it is objective, it is binary, all of those things are now considered to be hate speech. But if you actually come out and say, I told you, you're not like us, and you're not going to be allowed to open up that joint. You do that, Facebook says, that's not hate speech. That's not bullying. That's fine. We're okay with that. And what you see happening here is not only a double standard on Facebook, but you see by these actions here, they basically ran this guy off. He said, I'm going to close this down. He said, I think this is only within this area. No, he's wrong about that. He said, that's why I figured, just let me walk away from the problem. He said he's lost everything, pouring money into the Dearborn location by signing a 5-year lease, having electricity and plumbing installed. He did a full fit up. He purchased permits and licenses. He paid a franchise fee and all this sort of thing. But now he's walking away from it. Why? Because there is de facto Sharia law there. Understand, you know, what they have done is, you know, you filthy Jew, you opened up on Ramadan. We're going to shut you down. We don't like you because you're Jewish. We don't like you because you violated our holy day. And if they're able to get away with that, that is de facto Sharia law. Now, it's not actually encoded in the law. That would be de jure, right? That's actually, or whatever the legal term is. I'm not a lawyer. Should get Lionel on here to break this down. But the bottom line is that if you can make something happen, the same as if you wrote it and coded it in the law, it happens, right? And so it's de facto Sharia law that is happening there. He said, there's no reason for this. Why? He says, we're in America. You don't own Dearborn. But all right, I'll leave. That's why I said, if we don't face this down, the problem only gets worse. They get emboldened when we walk away from this. So I have sympathy for the guy. We can't walk away from this thing. And so this is why, when we look at these situations, when I look at what is happening, what the Democrats are doing, taking away the presumption of innocence of President Trump, you got to say that he's exonerated. There is no presumption of innocence just because you didn't find anything there. And, if he didn't shut down the investigation, it was funded with millions and millions of dollars, ran for years, had hundreds of lawyers and so forth. They wrote their report. They didn't find anything. But now you've got Democrat after Democrat on this show trial hearing that's going on today. It's going to be going on for 5 hours. And I'm telling you, from the very beginning, Bob Mueller was showing how old and tired he is. I don't know how he's, by the end of the day, I mean, he hasn't been able to keep up with Jim Jordan, Ratcliffe, Matt Gaetz, these other people who've been playing the clips of. I don't know what he's going to look like after 5 hours of grilling. It's going to be pretty sad. He's totally out of it. But when we look at this type of thing happening, when we look at what's going on with Epstein, for example, the elitists that are there, we always want to look at the people at the top. But do you realize how pervasive all of this stuff is? Do you realize how they're coming after your children, even if they're not on the Lolita Express? You know, the Daily Caller and others have found that Forbes magazine, the Huffington Post, National Review, they had all put out without any question propaganda that supported Epstein. I find it very amazing that they, and all three of these organizations, National Review, Forbes, and HuffPo, published posts characterizing Epstein as a wealthy businessman with a passion for science. What is he, doing research for Masters and Johnson or something? Maybe he's doing climate change research with his jet, right? That Lolita Express, it was simply a climate experiment. That's why he was jetting from one place to the other constantly. He wasn't trying to escape jurisdictions or hide anything. He was just doing a climate experiment. You know, he's a scientist, right? It's all about science. HuffPo has now deleted, all these organizations have deleted it after it was pointed out by the New York Times. HuffPo deleted a post from 2017 that lauded Epstein for taking action, quote unquote, to help a number of scientists thrive at a time of anti-science and budget cuts. So, yeah, he must have jumped in on that. I can't see the article anymore. It's now been deleted. But I'm sure he was trumpeting climate science. Forbes also referred to him in 2013 as, quote, one of the largest backers of cutting-edge science. National Review published a piece referring to him as a smart businessman with a passion for science. It's funny how many times they can use science as a beard to cover up criminal activity. That's the whole point of this climate emergency stuff. A former contributor to Forbes was paid $600 by a PR firm to attach his name to a pre-written story to get it published on the site. Now, that's the way this always goes down. As a matter of fact, that's what's happening all the time with these legislation items that are passed to take away our freedoms. Usually, they go to an event where they wine and dine, and you know, they invite the legislators from various states in, and they give them this nice hotel room and all these dinners and everything. Then they hand them this legislation, say, put your name at the top, or put your state at the top and sign it at the bottom with your name and turn this in. And so the American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC, does that famously. Most of the people doing that are Republicans. You know, Richard Nixon did that with the war on drugs. It was a UN agenda. It had already been pre-written 10 years before. Four schedules. All the drugs put into those four schedules. Richard Nixon put United States of America up at the top, signed his name, said, here's my drug war. And we've been fighting that nonsense, that UN drug war, for the last 50 years or so. Yeah, 1971. Anyway, meanwhile, the New York Police Department, and we see all these pictures of the New York Police Department officers being bullied as water is thrown on them as they're walking and everything, and I think that's very shameful. I'm not for bullying for anybody. I don't like to see police officers bullying people on the street, and I don't like to see people on the street bullying police officers. But nobody is talking about this. Nobody is talking about the fact that he was, as a child rapist, and he pled guilty to, he was supposed to be under supervision, and he was supposed to report and check in with the police as a registered sex offender every 90 days for 8 years. That would have been 34 times he would have had to do that in New York, but the New York Police Department had him do that zero times. Zero times. You're not going to see the corporate media talking about that. New York Post is the only one that I see that's really reported that. And when we look at all the elites that are there, the ruling class, you got friends even of President Trump. You got Wilbur Ross, Rudy Giuliani, Steve Mnuchin. Steve Mnuchin and his then wife, Heather. That was before the current wife, who's now going to be starring in the softcore porn film. They're all friends of Jeffrey Epstein. But folks, before we get into all of the details of Jeffrey Epstein and the weird island and the landing pads and the, you know, the temple that he's got there and all that kind of stuff, do you realize what's going on to your kids? Do you realize how this is a systemic? So, I mean, yeah, the elites are there, and they have given themselves a pass. There's no statute of limitations on the crimes that they commit with children. And yet, the pedophile agenda is alive and well for every one of our kids because we have centralized our educational system. This centralized educational system, starting with Obama, is pushing this trans agenda on our kids in elementary school and kindergarten, and they're getting away with it. When we come back, before we go back to this trial, I want to talk to you about what U.S. and U.K. doctors are warning against hormone surgery for very, very young children. Now, I talked to a father who, a family court here in Texas, is demanding that he chemically sterilize his son by the time he turns 8. SaveJames.com if you want to help him in that fight. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Money. Welcome back. We're going to get back to the hearing. Mueller hearing. It's going to be going on for 5 hours. And as you've, maybe you've seen a pattern. The Republicans will call him out on ignoring of due process, the fact that they didn't get search warrants, the fact they have double standards, the fact that there's no presumption of innocence, and on and on and on. And then the Democrats will get a turn, and then they will start asking him about obstruction when there were no crimes that were found. When the only crimes that were committed by the investigators and the people who started this investigation. So we'll be going back to that. But I just want to finish with what I was talking about in terms of the U.S. and U.K. doctors warning against hormones and surgery for trans-identified kids. There was about a month or so ago, I think, there was a psychologist, world-renowned psychologist, who had studied gender dysphoria. He was very sympathetic to it. I mean, he was banned by social media because of what he had to say. And this is a guy, as I said, very sympathetic to it. He saw it as a psychological condition, a mental illness, which it is. And he said, however, I think that the government, he's Canadian, I think the government should pay for transition surgery to change sex, but only after the person reaches the age of 21. And only after they have lived for two, maybe three, I forget the exact, it was 2 or 3 years. You live for 2 or 3 years under the identity that you want to assume. And you do that after you have reached the age of maturity, 21, to make sure that we are not going to be doing this to children. And yet that is not what's going on in our schools. For that, he was excoriated. He was banned from social media. And now we've got a couple of pediatric groups. We have the American College of Pediatricians, as well as a group in the UK. That group is the Royal College of General Practitioners, both taking on the idea that you're going to give drugs and surgery to minors, to minors. And I've said from the very beginning, just like that psychologist is saying, this whole process of what they're doing in the schools to children, the way they're pushing this, is essentially statutory pedophilia. Because we've always said that children below a certain age, even if they consent to it, if you have a sexual act with them, that is statutory rape. Well, folks, they're doing this to kids that are way, way, way below the age of maturity to make decisions about this type of thing. It is statutory pedophilia. Now, you're talking about Jeffrey Epstein saying, well, you know, once they had, you know, the braces removed, they were too old for him. They're coming after kids in kindergarten. I don't even know that Jeffrey Epstein is accused of that. And that's our institutions. Our schools are doing that. Our governments are doing that. It's far worse than Jeffrey Epstein. Yeah, he's the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the network of elitists that are doing this. But understand, these people in government have institutionalized their statutory pedophilia to our kids. Members of the American College of Pediatricians wrote a letter on Monday to the Surgeon General of the U.S. warning about the effects of gender reassignment surgeries and hormonal drugs on minors, saying such interventions have, quote, not undergone long-term study. The ACP called the issue a grave public health concern, said the drastic measures have become the new standard of care in lieu of ethical psychotherapy for children and teens who are diagnosed with gender dysphoria. The ACP letter cites research which claims that 61 to 98% of youth affected by gender dysphoria will outgrow it if, quote, allowed to progress through natural puberty. But no, they intervene there, and they do it to children at a very, very young age. The group also laments that healthcare professionals are increasingly prohibited from investigating psychosocial factors which may have led to gender dysphoria. The pressure, the peer pressure, the institutional pressure that they feel in the schools, fear of being penalized, fear of being accused of discrimination, and, of course, also the idea that it is portrayed as something that is hip, it is something that is trendy, it is something that is preferred. And if you don't prefer that, then you're going to be penalized. You're going to be discriminated against. In the UK, the Royal College of General Practitioners cautioned that there is a lack of robust evidence about the long-term effects of puberty blockers and hormonal drugs. This is being reported by RT, by the way. The 12-page position paper that was published by the Royal College of General Practitioners complained that family doctors were under pressure to provide gender dysphoria services that, quote, lie outside the remit of their generalist expertise. The paper advises that more research is needed on the pros and cons of medical treatment versus a less dramatic wait-and-see approach. And, of course, there is a psychologist who has at least one. It was the guy I was talking about who was purged off of social media. He studied it for decades. And he said, you don't do this to people until they reach the age of maturity, until they have lived under this assumed identity for 2 or 3 years. And he was, again, very sympathetic to him. He even wanted the government to pay for it. They said that the way that this works, the three stages, first they give them puberty blockers to halt the onset of puberty. Next, the child is given cross-sex hormones, hormones of the other sex. And then finally, they may undergo a gender reassignment surgery. And here's the side effects. It's not just what's happening to them psychologically and physically. This statutory pedophilia that's being done by our schools. But it has physical conditions, side effects, sterility, sexual dysfunction, surgical complications, blood clots, cardiovascular disease, osteoporosis, malignancy, cancer, in other words, and persistently elevated rates of suicide. So you're talking about sterility, heart attack, cancer, suicide. Don't worry, we got pharmaceutical drugs to handle every one of those, right? Just give them more medication. The medical warnings come as UK's only child gender clinic, the Gender Identity Development Service, reported significant increases in the number of children seeking to transition to the opposite gender. A surge just last month noted that 54% of the children referred to the clinic are 14 or under. Oh, so this makes, I guess this gets Jeffrey Epstein off the hook, right? When our schools and government are doing this as well, right? In the UK, 17-year-olds are now allowed to be seen in adult gender clinics and to be independently consent to treatment. Now, this is in the UK. 17-year-olds can go independently to these clinics. You can't get married in the UK until you turn 18 unless you got your parents' permission. They won't let you get married even with your parents' permission until you're 16 years old. But they're doing all this gender stuff to kids under 14. How is that? Why is that? How do they have the maturity to change sex when they don't have the maturity to get married? And of course, they put those laws in there. Why? Well, the stated reason is we don't want them to get pressured into a relationship that might be abusive. Do you think that maybe this is an abusive relationship that has been conducted by our schools, by our institutions, by our governments against our children? We'll be right back. Stay with us.
It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. You know, yesterday Alex Jones was able to interview trans woman. I don't know if he asked her if she wanted an abortion from Julian Castro. I mean, are you going to vote for Julian Castro because he promised you could get an abortion? biological male, Jessica Yanev, goes by the name, actually was born with a name, Jonathan, I think. But nevertheless, Alex interviewed him. If you want to see that interview, you can find it at InfoWars. Meet the trans goblin creature allegedly harassing 14-year-old girls. But see, it's not just 14-year-old girls. It's kids in elementary school that are being harassed systemically by our system. It's not just individuals like this. Parents are pushing kids as young as 3 to change gender without consulting specialists. That's what we're talking about in the UK. And the person who's running this transition bureaucracy there, I said, you know, families will talk about it being a hate crime if you get the wrong pronoun used with a kid that is running through social transition. We're getting a lot of pressure. It's difficult to work in this environment. And that's why you see the term Christian banned by YouTube, right? Because it's hateful. It's the wrong pronoun. It's the wrong religion. We're not going to allow that religion on YouTube. No, no, no. And the same individual that Alex interviewed yesterday, Jessica Yanev, famously got the business in Canada, forced them to close. And this really takes the cake, doesn't it? This is even worse than what they tried to do and failed so far to the masterpiece cake individual coming in and saying, we want you to custom make a cake for us. No, in Canada, they can do that kind of thing, and they can actually close your business. He filed a human rights complaint against the people there. Wanting them to give him a genital wax. And I guess they said, well, I've got news for you. I can tell biologically and objectively that you're not a female, and we don't do that here. But no, you're going to do that. Because, see, that's what happens when you invert the concept of rights. Rights are negative concepts in the American understanding of things. Rights are negative. in terms of the Bill of Rights. We have rights according to the Declaration of Independence and the understanding that we founded this country on. We have rights that were given from God, and we create government to defend those rights, to protect them. And when government doesn't do that, then it is time for us to alter or abolish that government. And yet you have people like Barack Obama say, I don't like that. That's a negative right. It tells the government that they can't do something. That's negative. That's so bad, it's negative. And so, yeah, we don't want anything negative, right? Oh, I've got a better idea. I've got positive rights. That's what the socialists are telling everybody. You have a right to this. You have a right to that. You have a right to be waxed. You have a right to get free health care, free food, everything. Who's going to provide that for you? Well, you know, we can force the person at the beauty shop to give you a wax. We can force the doctor and the nurse to give you free health care. We can force somebody to grow food for you. We can force somebody to pay taxes to support you. See, that's why, that's the basis of socialism, the idea of positive rights. And so what we have done is we've not only got a moral perversion, but we have a constitutional inversion. Everything is now permitted for the government to do unless expressly denied to them. No, that's just the opposite. The Constitution says you don't have any authority to do anything unless we give it to you specifically. That's the Ninth and Tenth Amendment. But they've completely inverted the Constitution. They've completely inverted the concepts that this country is built on, positive and negative rights. And they do it for their purposes of moral perversion. And in the same way, the Attorney General, who is now many people see as a good guy because he's defending President Trump, and yet when it comes to encryption, you have Attorney General William Barr saying that encryption, privacy, in other words, your privacy on your computer, your privacy on your phone, you know that idea to be secure in your person and your effects that's talked about in the Constitution? He says that puts American security at risk. Really? Does it? Does it really, Attorney General Barr? This is the person that is helping President Trump. This is the person that tells him that he's got to do everything the Supreme Court says. And this is the person who says that the interest of the state is above the interest of the individual, that security is somehow more important than individual privacy, that the state is something that is separate from Americans and superior to Americans. No. The government was created to protect our rights. And when the government says that our rights are getting in the way of its power, it's time that we alter or abolish that government. And so that brings us to where we are now. Why are we having this back and forth? Oh, because we don't even understand what the basic principles of presumption of innocence, of equal protection under the law, as we've seen some of these congressional representatives point out. Let's hope that they'll point that out when it comes to you or I, and not just when it comes to their political advantage. Let's go back to this hearing and see what they have to say.
Yeah. Director Mueller, going back to the president's obstruction via Corey Lewandowski, it was referenced that 1,000 former prosecutors who served under Republican and Democratic administrations with 12,000 years of federal service wrote a letter regarding the president's conduct. Are you familiar with that letter?
I've read about that letter, yes.
And some of the individuals who signed that letter, the statement of former prosecutors, are people you worked with. Is that right?
Quite probably, yes.
People that you respect?
Quite probably, yes.
And in that letter, they said, all of this conduct, trying to control and impede the investigation against the president by leveraging his authority over others, is similar to conduct we have seen charged against other public officials and people in powerful positions.
It really doesn't matter how many of these politicians they can wind up to
sign that letter.
Do you
want to sign that letter, Director Mueller?
It kind of matters what the Constitution says, doesn't it? What these guys swore an oath to uphold.
Thank you for your service going all the way back to the 60s when you courageously served in Vietnam. Because I have a seat on the Intelligence Committee, I'll have questions later. And because of our
thank you for
time,
helping Whitey Bulger run his criminal operation there and looking the other way. Thank you for all the people that you framed and sent to jail.
California, Mr. Liu.
Thank you, Director Mueller, for your long history of service to our country, including your service as a Marine, where you earn a Bronze Star with a V device. I'd like to now turn to the elements of obstruction of justice as applied to the president's attempts to curtail your investigation. The first element of obstruction of justice requires an obstructive act, correct?
Correct.
I'd like to direct you to page 97 of volume 2 of your report.
So, see, the investigation never happened because President Trump obstructed the whole thing. All those years of this and millions of dollars and hundreds of lawyers, that never happened.
To end the existing investigation into the president and his campaign, unquote. That's in the report, correct?
Correct.
That would be evidence of an obstructive act because it would naturally obstruct their investigation, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Let's turn now to the second element.
This whole thing ran for years. He wrote a report. He says we're done. How did he get obstructed in that? He was able to talk to anybody he wanted to. The president had talked to him, but the president doesn't have to self-incriminate.
You wrote, quote, by the time of the president's initial one-on-one meeting with Lewandowski on June 19th, 2017, the existence of a grand jury investigation supervised by the special counsel was public knowledge. That's in the report, correct?
Correct.
That would constitute evidence of a nexus to an official proceeding because a grand jury investigation is an official proceeding, correct?
Well, yes.
Okay. I'd like to now turn to the final element of the crime of obstruction of justice. On that same page, page 97, do you see where there's the intent section on that page?
I do see that.
C. All right. Would you be willing to read the first sentence?
And that was starting with?
Substantial evidence.
Indicates that the president's?
Yeah, if you could read that first sentence, would you be willing to do that?
I'm happy to have you read it.
Okay, I will read it then. You wrote, quote, substantial
Mueller is really going to be in a lot of trouble after 5 hours.
Indicates that the president's effort to have Sessions limit the scope of the special counsel's investigation to future election interference was intended to prevent further investigative scrutiny of the president's and his campaign's conduct, unquote. That's in the report, correct?
That is in the report, and I rely what's in the report
It's in the report, and he relies on it, even when he contradicted it earlier. So, conspiracy is the same thing as collusion, but no, they're not the same thing. Well, I take that back. I'm not really sure anymore. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of fodder for both sides to continue this, because the whole point of this investigation is to besmirch President Trump. Yeah, it's not besmirching Mueller to pronounce his name Mueller, as the Democrats said, but this is the whole point of this operation. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Viewers and listeners understand something, but I think you do. You've got discernment. I don't have a filter. What you see on air is who I am. I'm gonna tell you something right now. I'm super pissed at myself. I'm angry at what I've done the last year or so because, well, let me just explain it. When I take the supplements that we sell that are the highest quality, best researched, that are all the missing links of nutrition that the globalists have by design imposed on us so that we are deficient, so that we are dumbed down, so that we are weak, so that we are lethargic. And I myself preach that we should be healthy and prepared, and then I don't do it. I'm not as healthy. People notice that. And then I'm not promoting it as much. Instead, I'm just saying, support us. Get the products. That's how we fund our operation. That's secondary. If I'm bringing you the best products, like DNA Force Plus, I'm about to break down, then it's going to work great for you, and you're going to want to reorder it, which is a 360 win, a symbiotic relationship, a non-zero-sum game. And I know the problems. I've talked about it before. Almost 8 years ago, I was 80-plus pounds overweight. I was exercising every day, but all the chemicals in the environment, I couldn't lose the weight. I went on X2. I went on the first key products that we promoted that we knew were the best out there, and the weight just poured off of me. But then over the years, I get busy. I'm working hard. I run out of the vitamins and the minerals. I don't have an auto ship set up, and then I'm lethargic. I'm not working out. The same thing happens again, especially as you get older. Show about 3 weeks ago, I religiously began to take X2 every morning. I religiously began to take fish oil every morning. I religiously began at lunch to take my DNA Force Plus that's so critical. And I've already lost 7 pounds as of yesterday. I didn't weigh today. And my workouts are explosive compared to where they were. I'm doing 3 times the sets. I'm working out for an hour and a half. The sweat's pouring off. I'm feeling great. I feel like I'm 20 again. And so I'm committing this time. I'm committing. In fact, I want to walk around the room. You guys bring the mic in here, please. Folks, I'm telling you, this doesn't just fund the operation, which is a win-win by itself. This literally empowers patriots' bodies and helps us with the tools God gave us. And the evidence, the science is all there. Thank you, Scott. Is it on? Thank you. Before we went on today, I told the crew, please get my mobile mic ready. And I'm going to tell you right now why I did that. I've done live shows before where I just wore a pair of sunglasses. And back when we were on YouTube, it'd get like three times more views if I wore sunglasses or a cowboy hat. Because it's out of the ordinary. People ask themselves, what's different about this? So today I decided to get the mic here and, you know, stand up. Because I want to note to everybody, this is special. This is important. I'm 45 years old. When I was 35, I swam to 2 miles a day sometimes and would jog and couldn't lose weight because I didn't have the missing links. I was deficient in things that nobody ever told me I was deficient in. I knew all about the private Federal Reserve, the Trilateral Commission, the New World Order, Jeffrey Epstein and the pedophile rings. I knew all about geopolitical systems and the old Soviet Union and how the globals put the Chi-Coms in. But I didn't know about PQQ. I didn't know about CoQ10. I didn't know about all this. And I didn't know about clean iodine. And yeah, I want to fund my operation. I want you to get products that have changed my life and changed so many other people's lives that have 98% reviews. And then experience that I'm not BSing you. So that for some of you, maybe in the first time in your life, you're going to experience somebody that treats you like they want to be treated. Let me tell you something right now. You see DNA Force? I went out to top manufacturers, they're the most respected, most highly tested. And I said, I want the strongest PQQ CoQ10 overall formula that has pure non-synthetic stuff in it that's ever been put on the market. And they said, well, that's like a $22 each bottle. I said, I want to put $50 a bottle in it. They said, nobody's ever done that. Then I signed a contract to double the amount I was going to buy. I got it down to $30-something a bottle for what it cost me to make this. Nobody does that. Ladies and gentlemen, you read what's in this and you research every ingredient in this and then you experience it for yourself. It's incredible. There's nothing like what God gave us through Mother Nature. There's nothing as strong. And you look at all the things that are in this. ELV ATP, the number one ingredient in 2008, winning all the awards for increased cellular energy levels and improves athletic performance. CoQ10, we have the best form of it. The ingredient was popularized and studied by Dr. Peter Mitchell and won the Nobel Prize for CoQ10. This is a Nobel Prize winning ingredient. PQQ, we got the best form of that. This ingredient has won multiple awards, including Ingredient with Best Science. There are over 1,000 published studies on PQQ health benefits. You might want to go read them. They make your telomeres last longer. That's the DNA. They literally rejuvenate the cells and the engines in them. And again, I get in the habit of getting so busy, I forget to eat breakfast most mornings. I almost didn't eat lunch today. They're like, hey, you're being a jerk. Eat lunch. I was better after that. You take the X2. You take the X3. You take the body's turmeric. You take the DNA Force because this is the next level. You get a great response from it, and you fund the second American Revolution worldwide. But I want to be clear. Whether it's X2 or whether it's DNA Force Plus, this stuff isn't a game. I chopped my finger off 15 years ago. Helping people on the lake whose boat was on fire. Old Kevin Booth was there. It's a long story short. It was quite a fiasco. The finger was still numb until I took the original DNA Force 5 years ago. Feeling came back in it. You can actually say, because it's patented, that it regrows nerves. Now, that doesn't mean if you've broken your back and you're paralyzed, it's going to, you know, reconnect those giant nerves. But I had old back pains and things and old areas that were numb from football injuries where the nerves were so dead I had no feeling. The back pain came back and then the back pain went away. So what I'm saying is it's not all just roses to have your nerves come back. You need to know PQQ, CoQ10, and the other ingredients in this aren't child's play. This is stuff God gave us. It's powerful. So consult your physician before you take it. Because it could interact with something else you're involved in. Because we're not selling placebos. We're not selling snake oil. We're selling the most powerful nutraceuticals on the market. Because I want to be that guy that puts out the best fish oil. I want to be the guy that puts out the best iodine. I want to be the guy that puts out the best turmeric concentrate. I want to be the guy that when you order the products we sell, you go, man, his info is not just good. His products are amazing. Because I want a relationship with you. And I want to have a better world with you. And I want to dominate the globalists, and I want you to be healthy, because that's what I want for myself. And we're all connected. And anybody that tells you we're not connected is a Satanist. They may not know they're a Satanist. But Satanism is believing you're alone and believing that what you do doesn't come back on you. Listen, I'm a total individualist. But we are all collectively tied to each other. I believe individual freedom, but not at the expense of others. And that's the freedom and the free will God gave us, is to be individuals but collectively connected. Not individuals who don't care about anybody but ourselves. So I want to encourage everybody, learn about the secret history of iodine and the IQ reduction when you don't take it. Learn about PQQ, CoQ10, Resveratrol, and all the other things. I mean, there's so many that are in R-alpha, lipoic acid, rhodiola, astragalus, reishi, Resveratrol. I mean, I just don't have time to go over it all. And they're all the best, the highest quality, and they fund the information war. This bottle could be full of air. It's not. It's full of the highest quality product. And it would still fund a revolution against tyranny. It would still stand up for unborn babies and born babies and our very country's existence. But just like our information is powerful, this product is powerful, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why I'm so proud of it. So know this, when you get DNA Force Plus, it takes a few weeks to kick in, just like the iodine, because it changes the entire metabolic system in the body from the research that I've done in my own personal experience. And it's big medicine. It's big mojo. It's big. It's not globalist crap. It delivers. So check it out today. Both products, DNA Force Plus and the high-quality iodine X2 and X3. So that's three products. They're all 50% off right now, so you can experience these. A lot of you have already experienced it. You get great results. You forget about it, like I did. Get back on it. A lot of you stay on it. But a lot of people haven't tried it yet, and they need to experience it right now. InfoWarsLife.com for the X2, the X3, and, of course, the DNA Force Plus today. 50% off during this sale at InfoWarsStore.com.